With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
He said, "The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the evidence of the miracles themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I am doing, because I'm going to the Father." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for your holy scriptures. Father, bring wisdom out of the written word this morning. Make it a rhema in our hearts and in our lives so that it'll equip us to do the things that you've called us to do in this world. Father, we believe in the Lordship of Jesus. We believe that He received the Holy Spirit from you and that He pours Himself into us. And we thank you, Father, that we're going to see more clearly who you are in us this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We began this series, See God, and we started to talk about something that may be easier to grasp than the concept of God inside of a man and a man inside of God. And we began to open the eyes of our understanding to look at creation around us to see God's fingerprints, or we could say His DNA in everything that He created. Everything that you can see was created by God, for Him and in Him. And it may be difficult to understand, but in Him we live and we have our being. Can you say amen? All right. And so we looked at creation and we saw from the smallest things in the atomic level and even farther than that, to the largest things in the universe, the stars in the sky and the sun, we see the very same pattern of how God creates. And if a man looks at creation and he says there is no God, we found out in the scripture that he is without excuse. And so God's left His testimony for all men in creation. And then we looked in the Word of God and we saw in the Scriptures or the Bible that you have in your hand. Do you have a Bible with you? Can I see it, please? Raise it up high. God is in the Scripture. God, every word that is in your Bible that came from the Greek and the Hebrew, those are God-breathed words. And the breath of God is the life of God. The breath of God is the nature of God. The breath of God is the power of God. The breath of God is the Spirit of God. And when you put faith on those words, you'll draw upon the Spirit of God and they'll become living and active, a double-edged sword that can separate between your soul and your spirit. Do you know what I mean by that? Sometimes you don't know if God is speaking to you in your spirit or if it's your head, but if you're fed up, not fed up like tired of, but if you're fed up and full of the Scripture, then you can press into that and it'll discern for you what is in your head and what is in your heart. What is of your own human origin or what originated from God, the Creator of everything. And the Word of God, when we look at it and we see from Genesis to Revelation and all of these men that God used to write it in the different languages that He did, and we see the pattern of God in the Scripture. We see the miracles of God in the Scripture. And if you can envision the miracles of God in the Scripture, you can begin to envision the miracles of God around you. Can you say amen? In John chapter 1, would you turn there? John chapter 1, we're going to go to verse 1. We're going to read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God wrapped himself in flesh inside of the womb of Mary and came into the world just like you and I do. He came through blood and through water, through the birthing canal, and he gave himself into the hands of a teenage girl and a man to raise him up in a standard and a way that God could be seen in the man, Jesus Christ. Go to Acts 10:38, would you please? We're just going to review a little bit here. Because we want to be able to see God in the way that he has revealed himself. God has revealed himself as the great I am. He is that he is. Can you say amen? God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals. Jehovah Nisi, the God who goes before you. Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees the need in advance and provides. Can you say amen to that? Praise the Lord. And in the scripture, he revealed himself perfectly. Everybody say perfectly. Now that doesn't mean that it may not be tattered or torn, but it means completely when the Word of God uses the word perfectly. And he revealed himself perfectly in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, for God was with him. We find in the scripture in the book of Hebrews that Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. Now that shouldn't be so, because Jesus was a man, right? He could have been 5'3", 5'6", 5'10", but he was a man. He was known as the man from Nazareth. That's why the scripture calls him the Son of Man and the Son of God, because he was 100% God, but he was 100% man. He had flesh just like you have flesh. And if you could begin to see God working through the flesh of Jesus, he is our forerunner. He's our elder brother. He is the firstborn again from the dead. Come on now. Jesus is our example. He's our role model. He's the one who we are to follow so that we can begin to see Christ formed in us. Say, in us. If you can see the humanity of Jesus, it will enable you to see God in you. But if your Jesus never burps, if your Jesus never gets dirty feet, if your Jesus never had a hangnail, come on, if your Jesus never did something normal that you do every day when you get up and wash your face and brush your teeth, if your Jesus didn't do that, then it's going to be very hard to see God living in you or God displaying his power through you. Come on. So remember, we're not trying to bring Jesus down to our level of humanity. God already did that. Jesus is God incarnate. What does that mean? God come in the flesh. And the Word of God says that if you don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh, then you're not even born again. Because you don't know Jesus, and if you don't know Jesus, you can't know the Father. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto me but by the Father. So the purpose of this is to see God's example of glory, of power, of faith, and love in the form of a man. He was made like us in what every single way the Scripture says. He was made exactly like us in every single way. That's why he's a great high priest in heaven, because you know he has compassion for you, because he knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to have to submit. He said in the garden, what did he say? He said, Father, not my will, but yours. Well, I thought Jesus always wanted what God wants. Well, he didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to suffer. He didn't want to go to the pit of hell. He knew it was going to be painful. He knew it was going to be scary. So he said, not my will, but yours. See, that is the example we are to follow. The scripture also says that Jesus was raised from the dead because of his humble submission. He put his will under God's will. And God glorified him and seated him at the highest place in heaven. Why? So listen now, don't get freaky on me now. But do you realize in heaven that there's a throne? And do you realize in that throne is a God-man? Let me say that again. In the throne in heaven, there is a God-man. Jesus ascended in flesh. Jesus ascended in his body. He's all God. Come on. He's all man too. But he's got glorified flesh now. Praise the Lord. He said, touch me, feel me, give me something to eat. Just proving who he was. Now, if your Jesus is a spirit, it's going to be a hard time to see God inside of you. You say amen? We also talked about the disciples and then seeing God in me. And I go to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 through 27. Ezekiel. Listen, sometimes if you haven't been around the Bible, say Bible. This is a Bible-believing church. So we're not going to believe what men have told us. We're going to believe what the Bible says. And the Word of God says, let every matter be established by two or three witnesses. So it's not going to look at one little paragraph and one little sentence here. We're going to see the very pattern of God. When God created Adam, what did he do? He breathed his breath, his pneuma, his spirit, his zoe, into the nostrils of Adam. And Adam became a living soul. Say living soul. Okay, living, vitality, soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. But he breathed his breath in him. So hold on, where was God's breath? Somebody help me. When God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, where did that breath go? What? Inside of Adam. So the original plan was for God to be in Adam. And the Bible says that he communed with him. And he even walked with him in the cool of the evening. When God's presence left because of sin, God removed himself from Adam because of sin. Adam, he said, Lord, I was afraid of you because I was naked. And God said, listen, because this wasn't something, he wasn't supposed to be self-aware. He was supposed to be aware of God. God said, who told you you were naked? Because he was clothed in the presence of God. He was clothed with the presence of God. Are you getting it? And when you become so, you're not going to walk around naked. We're not going to have a nudist church. But when you become aware that God is in you, come on. When you become aware that God lives in you, you won't be so conscious about how you look and how you walk and how you talk. Because, hey man, if God's in you, then everything's okay. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Say never. That doesn't mean that, you know, tonight when you go home and you watch Hawaii 5-0 that you get in the flesh and then Jesus isn't in you. No, Jesus is in you. Actually, Jesus is watching Hawaii 5-0 with you. He might say, boy, I wish you'd change the channel, but he's watching with you. He say, amen. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. This is the promise. And you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit. Everybody say new spirit. I will put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone. You old hard-hearted, cold person. He's going to remove that. And he's going to give you a warm heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit. Whose spirit? Whose spirit? God's spirit. He says, now I'm going to clean you up. Come on. I'm going to get rid of that broken, old, hard human spirit of yours that's been tainted by sin. And I'm going to give you a new one. And then I'm going to put my spirit in you and move you by that spirit to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That is the promise of God. That's the way Adam was created. God's presence was in him. And when Adam started acting contrary to his presence, God's presence would try to pull him back in line. When you got born again, how many of you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Can I see your hand, please? If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you got something different on the inside of you than those who haven't. What you have is a compass that is strengthened and led by the power of God. And that compass leads you toward God's perfect will in your life. It leads you away from sin and into glory. It leads you away from weakness and into strength. It leads you away from things that will harm you. Come on. So if you don't, you guys listen to your Siri and your GPS more than most of us will pay more attention to. Listen very carefully. When she says turn right and you don't know why, you turn right anyway. Don't you? When she says take this exit, you take that exit even though you think it might not be the right exit. Am I right about it? Yes or no? So when God's Spirit says don't hang out with that person, why do you keep hanging out with that person? Come on, when the Spirit of God says, don't go into that store, and you go into, why do you go into that store anyway? Because you have more faith in a voice of a woman or voice of a man on your phone, because it's naturally perceived, instead of what God created you to do, is to be led through things that are spiritually perceived. Can you say amen? Amen. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. All right, now I'm going to take you real fast here, because you need to understand this. From the time that God's Spirit left Adam in the garden until this point in Acts chapter 2, God's Spirit was only in one man. In all those 4,000 years between Adam and we say 4,000 years because the genealogy shows us that. But from Adam until the time that Jesus was on the earth, there was no man in between who had God's Spirit in him. But God's Spirit was upon him. So Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was to... There's no forgiveness of sin without what? Without what? The shedding of blood. So his blood is an eternal sacrifice for you and for me. So you're clean eternally, okay? The price has only been paid once. It's all. There's no other sacrifice. So it's been paid. Now you have to be in the lordship of Jesus so he could be your savior. Come on. He could be your sanctifier. You following me? So Jesus paid the price and was resurrected to a new life so that you could be in position to qualify to receive his Holy Spirit. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Bartholomew, come on, Peter. None of these guys received the Holy Spirit until this day. Now, when Jesus walked into the door in John chapter 20, the Bible says he breathed his Spirit upon them and opened up their minds so they can understand the Scripture. That is probably a picture of the new birth. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost begins to... Now, it's just having a new Spirit is good, right? But having God's Spirit fill you is better. And here in Acts chapter 2, we're going to read it. Are you ready? Verse 29. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. They're speaking in other tongues. And he says, "Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne." He's speaking of Jesus. "Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God," come on, "he has received from the Father," you see that word received? When he was exalted, "he received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit." Don't go anywhere yet. He's talking about what we just read in Ezekiel. Jesus made it possible for, listen, the sin nature in you to be eradicated. You're created to be a new man. If you're a new man, the old is gone, the new has come. Come on. So we put on that attitude of our new self every day because we're being cleansed and made righteous by this life-giving Spirit we call the Holy Spirit, who is God himself. "He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, and yet he said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has..." Are you looking? "God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Do you see this? I want you to see something. God made. God has made Jesus, Lord and Christ, or Messiah. Same thing. "They called him Lord when he was on the earth, but he wasn't the Lord of lords until this day." Come on. "They called him the Messiah, but he wasn't the one who poured out the Spirit." That's what the Messiah or the Christ means. "Until this day. Now, although he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, he had to go through the physical part of it so you could get the spiritual part." All right, praise the Lord. Let's go to the next. He says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' He said, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin.'" And here's the purpose, guys. "And you will receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children." That's a promise we read in Ezekiel. "Is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, and for all who the Lord will call." Who is the promised Holy Spirit for? All who will believe in Jesus. all who will believe in Jesus. Every man, woman, and child who makes Jesus the Lord of their life can receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now I'm going to tweak some of your religious thoughts, okay? Jesus did not die so you could go to heaven. He didn't come in the form of a man through the womb of Mary so that you could have a mansion with streets paved of gold up there. Now, come on now. Jesus said it himself in John chapter 14. He said this. He said, the kingdom of God is here, and soon it's going to be in you. If I go, it's going to be better for you because I'm going to send the advocate. I'm going to send the comforter, and he will be with you and strengthen you, and you'll do greater works than I do. This is what he said. He had to go prepare the place. He said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, here's what y'all are weird about. I don't know where this came from, but we think that, so the Father's got a big house up in heaven with lots and lots of rooms. How's that go? It's a big, big house with lots and lots. Yeah. Well, great. He probably does have a big house, but the room that, who lives in this house? The Father. Did Jesus prepare it? Yes. He took an old, icky building like this, and he restored it from the inside out so the Father could live in it. And that old icky building was called you. Got it? Now, when you die, if Jesus doesn't come back, yes, you're going to be in heaven. For how long? Well, until he comes back to get the rest of us. Praise the Lord. So if the rapture happened today, and we all, you know, we all just start whoo, right through the roof. Praise the Lord. Then we'll be back in 7 years to be here for a thousand. That's another teaching we find in the Word of God that's very clear. So heaven, everybody say heaven, is temporary housing. Got it? Okay, praise the Lord. It's just temporary housing. Now listen. When Jesus said, whoever believes in me shall not die but have what? Everlasting life. Well, then how come people are still dying? Because he was talking about eternal life. He was talking about life without beginning and without end. He's not talking about a length of time. He's talking about a quality of life. Jesus said in John 10:10, a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I come so that you may have what? Zoe, the life of God, and have it more abundantly. See, I'm not waiting to die to get my inheritance. And you shouldn't be either. He died so he could give all to us. Come on. And he's not stingy. The Bible says he's a liberal giver. And I don't need stuff. I need his presence. His presence draws stuff like a magnet. His presence draws everything that I have need of. What I'm going to wear and what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to ride. It's drawn because of God's presence in me. I am a temple of God. Oh, how dare you say that. Okay, I'm a tabernacle of God. Oh, don't say that. Yes, I am. And for me to say that I'm not, I am being prideful because I am lifting myself above the written word of God who says I'm a temple of the Holy Ghost and God chooses to live in me. He who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin so that we might become the very righteousness of God and we could partake of that righteousness. The Bible says that we are partakers of his divine nature. You are a sapsucker. I'm a sapsucker. But Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branch. And if you're not connected to me, you won't bear any fruit. But if you're connected to me, you're going to bear much fruit, and that'll be to the glory of my Father. So I'm not prideful. I'm a sap sucker. I'm sucking all the sap of the Holy Ghost I can get out of Jesus because he doesn't care. He died so I could have it abundantly. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, would you turn there? And we're not talking about me. We're talking about you. You're a sapsucker. Come on. You're one who partakes of the divine nature. God's not weak in you. God is strong in you. You didn't get the watered down version of the Holy Ghost. You didn't get the generic version of the Holy Ghost. You didn't get the south side version of the Holy Ghost. You didn't get the east side version of the Holy Ghost. You didn't get the countryside variety of the Holy Ghost. You got the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead. Praise the Lord. You've got to open the eyes of your understanding so you could begin to see it so that power will be displayed to the people of the earth. It says in Ephesians that God raised Jesus from the dead so that he could display his wonders in your life and the kindness of his joy, his kindness, and his generosity in your life. So, I mean, if you can walk around and say, you want to see God? Well, I mean, probably got a 34-inch waist instead of a 38 to 40. And on bad days, 42. Good days, 36 and a half. You know what I'm saying? Anybody past 40? Praise the Lord. God lives in me. It's not me doing the work. It's God doing the work through me. The words that I'm speaking right now are not my words. These are the words of the Father. Now, I've said other words that he didn't create, and then it grieves me. Amen? Confession is good for the soul. Amen? 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, then God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and that he is in us. God has given us his Spirit. Can you say amen? And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they live in God. Is Jesus the Son of God? Yes. Is Jesus the Son of God? Yes. Out of your lips, is Jesus the Son of God? Yes. I'd say, Jesus is the Son of God. God lives in you. That's your litmus test. That's the proof and the evidence. The Scripture says, if you can say that Jesus is the Son of God, if you can say Jesus is my Lord, if you can say Jesus came in the flesh, then God lives in you by his Spirit. Well, I don't ever see him. Yeah, but you know when he is. And you know when he's messing with you to stop doing what you're doing. And you know when he's leading you to do right. And the more you discern that voice, come on, the more you discern the Holy Spirit's leading in you, the stronger it gets. The more confident you are, the more clear it gets. And the more of God's kindness and blessing is displayed through you, your life, your family, your business. Can you say amen? Go to John chapter 15, because remember we said we wanted this to be established by two or three witnesses? So we're going to see what Jesus had to say about this. It is pertinent. If you read John chapter 14 through 17, I've read John chapter 14 through 17 every day for 5 years. And I still read it a lot. John 15 verse 1, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. See, you understand, you're supposed to be producing something. While every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Ouch. So it will be even more fruitful. But you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So how does God prune you, guys? He prunes you with his words. He prunes you with the word. As you follow him, he's pruning. He's cutting, my dad used to call them suckers. The little things that come on the vine or on a tree, the little, you know, they've got pretty little leaves, but they're small and they come out. Like, what's that doing there? You cut those things off because they're just sucking sap. They're doing the tree no good. It needs to get that sap to the top to strengthen those little twigs up there. It needs to get the sap to the top. So those little leaves, now come on, they're not producing anything. They can't put a walnut on it. They can't hold an acorn. So cut them off. You'll have more fruit. So God's always pruning you. If you don't like correction, you don't like discipline, then you shouldn't be a Christian. Because if the pastor's not doing it, God's going to do it. And if you don't listen, you're not going to be a fruitful Christian anyway. Jesus said, remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can he bear fruit unless you remain in me. So I'm clinging to the vine, and I'm sucking sap. And this is why. Jesus said, I am the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me doing things your own way, you cannot. Let me say that again. Apart from me, you can do nothing eternal. Let me say it again. Try it your own way. Yes, you've had success in God up to this point. Praise the Lord. Stay in the vine. You go out there and do your own will, you're not going to produce anything. 10 years go by and you go, whoa, why did I let go of the vine? Why did I stop listening? Why did I stop following? Why did I stop going to church? Why did I stop listening to the Word, reading the Word? That's what remaining in the vine is. Listen, you go to church when the doors are open. You read your Bible every day and you pray and you tithe. And you'll be connected to the vine. Do that every single day. Amen. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, now you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If you don't bear any fruit, if your prayers do not produce anything, then you're not bringing any glory to the Father. If there is no distinction in your life, guys, this is a hard message this morning, but it's good. If there is no difference between you and Joe Schmo heathen down the street, if there's no difference between your life, your property, your business, and the person down the street, come on, if there's no difference in your life, in seeing the goodness of God, in seeing the manifested presence of God in your body through healing, if there's no difference between you and everybody else, then you're not bearing fruit. Fruit is not produced of your own. Fruit is produced because you're, you know, sucking onto the vine. We want to bear fruit. We want our prayers to be answered. We want God's glory to be manifested. Not to say I am somebody, because I am nobody without Him. But with Him now, I'm different than the rest of the world. You know, the rest of the world came in this building 7 years ago, and they said, And I came in, and the Spirit of God said, Come on. And this is just part of me. What I've seen, watched Him do something where they say it can't be done. Structurally, it's impossible. And you can't build this here and you can't do that there. God just keeps making a way. There's a difference between us and some very large development company out there. Because God is in us, so He makes a way all the time. Can you say amen? Go to John chapter 17, please. We're going to read verse 20 through 23. So Jesus says this is what's going to happen. And the very last prayer that He prayed in front of His disciples is this prayer. And He says, He says in John chapter 17, let's begin in verse 20. Remember, Jesus just said earlier, He said, I only say what I hear the Father say. The words that you hear, they're not my own. They belong to the Father. It's the Father doing the work in me. So hold on. If Jesus is speaking the words of God, then who's praying this prayer? This is God's prayer for you and for me. He's praying it while He's in the flesh. Why doesn't God just do it? Because God had to become a man to have the authority to speak these things out. He had to regain the sovereignty that He lost when Adam sinned and rebelled against Him. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone, speaking of the disciples. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. Do you believe in Jesus because you've heard the gospel? Then this is for you. That all of them, that's you guys and me, may be one, Father, just as, in the same manner, that you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so the world may believe that you sent me. Hold on. Why? Why does He want us to be in them and them in us? So the world would believe in Jesus. Listen, if you're getting beat up every day like the world is, if you have no victory, if you have no authority, come on, if you don't have any confidence, then how are they ever going to see Jesus in you? I'll tell you what, the church is, we've got to stop trying to suffer our way through a thing and go over. I don't have to go through it. He went through it. Come on, I am more than a conqueror now, aren't you? He conquered so I can live in victory. Now, I know we're going to be attacked, and I know we're going to have trials, but we don't have trials like the rest of them with no hope. Oh, the best thing I can do is just lay on my back and get a shot and go to the chiropractor. I'm going to be in pain all my life. No! If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then I'm going to have some strength. If that flu bug attacks me, they may be down for 3 weeks. I may only be down for a day or not at all. Come on, there has to be a difference in my life. When I pray, things need to move. Jesus said, now hold on, he's transferring something here in this prayer. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. He describes it again, guys, so get it through your head. This is you. Jesus said, I want to be in them and you in me so that they may be brought into complete unity. Now then the world will know that you've sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Look at me. If I said that I loved Lita in the same way that I loved Pastor Nija, y'all would think I got a problem, wouldn't you? Well, yeah. And Johnny would have a problem too. But Jesus said the world needs to know that God loves you just as much in the same way and fashion that he loved Jesus. How is that? That you would become one with the Father just like Jesus when he Jesus is the man God. When Jesus was on this earth in his flesh, was one with the Father. Because now listen, here you guys all praise the Lord, and I don't mean this sacrilegiously, but y'all got like Jesus, you know, he's up here in a tutti frutti robe and, you know, never burps, never gets gas, never has to blow his nose. But actually, God brought Jesus from that point to here. So you could see God working through him. And if you can see the humanity of Jesus, come on, Jesus with a broken nail, Jesus with dirty feet. If you can see God still doing miracles in Jesus with dirty feet, then you can see God doing miracles through you. Because God's in you in the same way that he was in Jesus. He said, you're going to do greater works than these. Come on. I'm not saying that we need to rise up and become in God's class of being. He said it. That's why he calls you sons and daughters. That's why he calls you family. That's why you've been born again. Because you're born naturally. Well, now you're born spiritually. Well, you've been born into a new family. You're way past adopted. You got the Holy Ghost, man. You're just like Jesus was in the earth. And the Bible says, just as Jesus was in the earth, so you should be. Oh, but I can't wrap my head around it. I know. So get into the Word of God and see it out of your spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So God's original plan was to be inside of Adam, so they'd be one, unified, complete, right? And he blew that when he ate from the tree he told him not to. And so God worked through the prophets until the point that he could come amongst the people as a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of a cloud during the day. And so he was with them. And he said, okay, now let's go to this mountain. And first thing he did with Israel, took them to this mountain. And they all sanctified themselves. They washed themselves, you know. They did all, that's all they could do. Made sacrifices. And then God began to speak from the thunder and the lightning because coming off that mountain. And people said, no, we're undone. We're unclean. You speak through Moses and Moses will tell us what you said. So Jesus came to make you clean. To take away the fear. So you didn't see God as some untouchable being, but one who wants to be intimate with you every minute of every day. You're a holy thing. Oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you were a sinner. And grace has cleaned you up and made you meet, qualified you to be a partaker of God's love, of God's Spirit, of God's power, of God's faith. You are the righteousness of God in Christ because of what Jesus did on the cross. How did I get that? I believed in Jesus. And now I'm living my life the best that I can, and I'm doing what he tells me to do. He's my Lord, so he's my boss. Hey, I don't think, say, or do anything without trying to run it up against him. All right. Say, I'm a holy thing. Verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Stop. Touch your body. That's you, right? All right, even if you got born again, your body wants to feel good. So rub me this way instead of this way. Scratch my back higher over here instead of down there. Your body wants to feel good. That's not sin. It's just how you do it. Sex out of marriage is sin. So, come on now, flee that sexual immorality. Just like gluttony is a sin, so I can't eat 5 pounds of cheese, even though I would like to. But my body is always hungry. I don't know about yours. So, but here's the thing. My body doesn't have an attitude anymore. It's just hungry. So I have to curb it and put it under. Now, before I got born again, I couldn't stop doing nothing. I was addicted to everything that felt good. Come on. But Jesus changed my spirit, gave me his strength, and leads me and guides me. So when I'm reaching for that fifth piece of cheese, and Pastor Nisha's not around because she'll get me at 4, the Holy Ghost will say, don't eat that. I say, okay, can I have it in about an hour? Something on the inside leads me and guides me. My body wants to, it needs rest. God wants you to rest. But hold on, you got to get up in the morning and go to work. Amen? Sometimes when I'm tired and hungry, I can get grumpy because my body's grumpy. It's screaming at me. But now, hold on, I got the Spirit of God inside me, so I should be able to draw on that peace. So understand, just because your body has needs, it wants to rest, it wants to feel good, it wants to eat, it wants to drink. That's not sin. It's when you do those things outside of God's plan, it becomes sin. So let's go to the next one. Do you not know that your bodies, your fingers, your toes, your ears, your nose, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Your body is not the problem. It's your discipline. And your body and your discipline really aren't your problems. The problem may be that you're not drawing on the power for your discipline. See, God will never ask you to do something that he won't empower you to do. He'll never ask you to abstain from something that he won't inoculate you with the power not to do it. So when somebody says, like Flip Wilson, my grandpa used to play that Flip Wilson record, and he'd say, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything. And the truth is, God can't make you do anything either. Come on, praise the Lord. But if he's talking to you about not doing something, then he's giving you the power. Where's the power? It's within you. It's him. It's not from your life source. It's from his life source. He'll never ask you or call you to do anything he will not strengthen you to do. And the Bible says that we are to be strengthened in our inner man by his Spirit. Can you say hallelujah? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I know this is a lot of scripture this morning, but we've got to get you from, you know, bump on the log, just got here with a cup of coffee, and yelled at your wife on the way in, and then tried to act all good when you got inside, from that point to seeing God in you. Let me tell you what helps me. When Jesus' best buddy says, no, that's not going to happen to you, I won't let it happen, and he turns around and he says, shut up! What's inside of you is not God's plan. Get behind me, you foul, worst thing Jesus could say, you foul Satan, you, get behind me. I mean, he's God, and he's calling his best buddy Satan. Get behind me, Satan. I mean, but that's God in him. God didn't leave him because he was angry. Oh, I don't know about that. Okay, what about this? Walks in the temple and people are selling stuff. And he makes a whip and he starts hitting the people. And he starts turning over the tables and throwing a temper tantrum, making a mess. Hold on. God was still in him. If you can see the humanity of Jesus and him still doing the works of God, then you can see God doing the works through you. Praise the Lord.
I like it when Jesus says, you religious people been waiting all these years for, you're like whitewashed tombs. You stink like dead men. You're a brood of snakes. And it's, oh, but our father is Abraham. He says, no, you are just like your father, the devil, you foul, nasty, stinking people. What did he do? He just called the religious people the devil, just like he did his buddy Peter. But nobody ever questions if God was in him. He just turned around and did another miracle because he knew he was right with God. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart, that your inner man may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. Okay, say power, because I believe in Jesus. Okay, now this happens in your inner man. You've got to see it now. You've got something better than the ever-ready battery bunny guy inside of you. You got Jesus, the life giver, the author of all life, the creator of everything that we see is inside of you. And he says, now, this incomparable great power for us who believe, that power is the same. Everybody say same. Is the same as the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that can be invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God is filling the world with his presence through you. Oh, maybe for the people on the front row, but not me. Yes, you. In all of your mess, in all, that's why you sit in front, in all of your humanity, come on, with all of your stinking habits, with the thoughts that you think that you know you shouldn't play with, but you do, come on, God wants to fill this earth with his glory through you. So if you can't be a branch sucking on the sap from the vine, then just see yourself as part of the body. And even if you're that little, I don't understand why we got little toes. Because, I don't know, my little toe doesn't do nothing. It just kind of goes like this, you know. But if you see yourself as that worthless little toe, you know, you're still above power and authorities on this earth and every name that could ever be named or invoked. Because you're in the body of Jesus. And Jesus' life is flowing through you. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I see God in you. Praise the Lord. I do. When I look out on the congregation when I'm up here, I see God inside of you. Yeah, some of you, I see him trying. I mean, he's just like trying to get out, just not to escape, but to be seen. He's just trying to work in you, to work through you. Jesus said, speaking of the Holy Spirit, that those who believe in him would have rivers of this living water, the very presence of God, flowing out of their inner being. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says this. We're going to begin in verse 9. You, however, well, I got flesh, yes. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm. Now, realm, that's kind of a weird word. Let's say kingdom. You are in the kingdom. You're in the authority. You're in the dominion. You're in the power of, okay? You're in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, we know he lives in you because you confess Jesus as your Lord. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body, your flesh, is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit inside of you gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Ghost through the Father, will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. So even though the outside of the building may be coming against the weather and the rain and whatever else, because it's something's on the inside of the building that its beauty is going to be displayed on the outside. That's why we light the church up every night, so people can see the beauty that is on the inside. Come on, and it's the light of the gospel that'll bring you into the reality where Jesus will be seen through you, through your flesh, through your crooked smile, through your eyes that aren't as bright as they used to be. Come on. Through your body. Because listen, you are a jar of clay, right? And he's given us this all-surpassing power in jars of clay. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think. He's given it that we know, people will see, it's obvious that the works that are being done aren't being done by us, but it's this incredible power that lives in us. And when they can see God in you, guess what? They see the possibility of God in them. And they were made by the Father to have God in them. They were made by the Creator to long for His presence. That's why He put His Spirit in us and we cry, Abba, Father, because you were made for that. You long for His presence. You thirst for His presence. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. See, God lives in... Hold on. God lives in you. God didn't live in you. He lives in you. That's why we're to be being filled with the Holy Ghost all the time. That's why that quiet time is vitally important for your strength, for your peace, for your faith. So that you could be full of the knowledge of God in you. Guys, if you could be more God inside minded instead of problems out there conscious. If you're more conscious of all the things that are coming against you, you need to start meditating on the fact that the Creator of the universe lives in you. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow, deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental forces of this world rather than on Christ. Hold on. See that people don't talk you out of this. See that you don't follow into some trap where you think how God anointed Jesus is not how God will anoint you. Manifest miracles in this congregation so that you see that God lives in you. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost lives in bodily form. And in Christ you've been brought into fullness. You're not lacking anything. He is the head over every power and authority. God lives in you in a great and powerful way. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you've been brought into fullness. He is the head of every power and authority, and you are in Him. He will always be the head. So He's the planner. It's His heart, it's His desire, but He manifests it through you. Would you stand to your feet? So what does all this mean? If you've been listening and trying to understand, because you have to try. Then you should feel stronger right now than you did when you came in. If you're listening and you're trying to see how this fits into your life, you should have more peace. You should have more confidence. Come on. You should feel good, better about your relationship with God because you're listening to the Word of God, not the ideas of a man, but you're listening to Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. It says God is pleased with you. And if He's your Lord, then God lives in you in the fullness that He lived in Jesus. You are in perfect unity with the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. You're seated with Him in heavenly realms. You, say me, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Come on. There's nothing you cannot do. If it's in the plan of God, then it's in your heart. And you can accomplish anything. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. Why? Because the one who created everything is seated in you. And you're seated in Him. Nothing. Nothing is impossible. Let's say this. Nothing is impossible for Jesus. Jesus lives in me. Nothing is impossible for me. Because Jesus lives in me. Come on, Jesus lives in you. There's nothing, nothing. Here's nothing. And this is in 1 John 4:4. Would you put that up, please? 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. There is nothing outside of these doors that is greater than you and Jesus. Nothing out there is more powerful than you and Jesus. There is no sickness that's stronger than Jesus in you. There is no devil. And all of them combined couldn't keep him in the depths of hell. So you understand there is no devil out there, no legion of devils out there that is greater than Jesus in you. Come on, man, you got to see it in your spirit. You've got to see yourself casting out demons. You've got to see yourself laying your hand and saying, in the name of Jesus, blind eyes open. And you've got to see it in your spirit. It's not impossible for you. You listen, if you see it in your spirit and you get your mind just to be in neutral and agree with it, when it comes out of your mouth, creative miracles will happen, because it won't be you doing the work. It'll be God inside of you doing it. And when it happens, it gives him glory. Because God is being displayed. His kindness is being displayed through you. Then you know what will happen? They'll say, God did send Jesus. Jesus, he's not dead. He's alive. He's not weak. He's strong. He must be the King of Kings. He must be the Son of God. And then they'll look at you and say, I want what they've got. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And without him, man, I'm refuse. I'm garbage. I'm donkey dung. I'm nothing. I can't produce anything for longer than a couple minutes. It seems like, boy, you get in the plan of God and you start doing things. It's like, move over, city government. Move over. Move over, state. Move over, nation. Come on, get out. You foul devil of false religions, bow to the name of Jesus. Come on, man. God lives in you. Let me pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your life-giving presence around us, but Father, for the flow from the river in us. You've created us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. You've created us. You caused us to be born from above. So we'll be born in your class, in your family. Fill us with your life. Fill us with your nature. Oh, we give glory to you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you need to come close to Jesus this morning, you need to make things right in your life. If you haven't been living for him, he wants to live in you. All you've got to do is acknowledge him as Lord. Acknowledge what you've been doing ain't right with him. Nobody else has to know, just you and him. But I do want to pray for you. If that's you this morning and you want to make things right with God, please raise your hand so I can see you. Yes. Yes. Is there anybody else? Yes. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, those who raised their hand this morning, wash their sins with your blood. Cleanse them of all unrighteousness. Blot out their sins from the record. And with the eternal blood of Jesus, write their names in the book of life. Father, fill them with your spirit. Fill them with your power. Fill them with your love. Fill them with your strength and confidence and peace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For those that are here this morning, I pray that Christ is formed in them. The image of who Jesus is in their lives is clear, clearer than ever before. So they go out and do things to bring glory to the Father through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Jesus. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And this is something that the Holy Ghost has really been dealing with me about. Because as your pastor, I'm to pray for you. I'm to strengthen you. I'm to encourage you. I'm to discipline you and correct you at times too. But one of the things that I have to do is I have to believe God for your covering. So when I speak the words of the blessing that God gives me each week, you know, you can put your hands out to receive. You can put whatever you've got to do, but receive it. It's God's power and His presence. Now, the anointing can't be put on you, pushed on you. You have to receive it. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord keep His face towards you and grant you perfect peace. May He lead you away from temptation. May He strengthen your faith so you become aware that He's not only with you, but He is in you. May you be so God inside minded that you be put on display for all the nations to see God's goodness and kindness towards you and through you. Now I commit to God. I commit you to God and the word of His grace that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who dwells in you. And all the people said, Amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.